Hello guys, you are tuned to another podcast of Short and Sweet Reviews. This is our episode 4 podcast. We were off last week, but this week we got all the news for you. And joining with me tonight is, as always, Linda Garcia.
Hello.
And we got Samuel.
Hola.
And we got Tron.
Yo.
Alright, how's everyone doing tonight?
Good.
Good.
Doing pretty good.
Doing pretty good. Well, as always, guys, we're going to start off with our segment, What's Playing? And we're going to jump to Samuel. What have you been playing in the past 2 weeks that you've been off sleeping?
Well, it turns out that I threw in my Zelda Twilight Princess into my Wii, and my last save date was 2009. So I thought I'd go through and actually legitimately finish that game. Right now all I got left is the Sky Dungeon and the Last Dungeon, and I'll be done with that game finally after 3 years.
Okay.
Wow. You gonna pick up Skyward Sword after that, or have you already done that?
Absolutely. No, I don't even have the Motion Plus thing yet, so I've been wanting to play Skyward Sword since it came out, so I'm definitely going to try to look for a cheap one that I can pick up.
Wow.
And that's going back in time, going back to play that game. I remember playing it. The friend got the Wii when it came out, and I played a bit of it, but it's such a big game. I didn't have enough time to sink enough time into it, really.
It's about 40, I would say it's a good 40 hours of gameplay if you try to go through and do everything, because there's a lot of going back back and going back, so it's pretty, oh man, it's a blast. Yeah, it's like a launch title. But, you know, it's got replayability, I think.
Exactly.
I remember seeing a really good YouTube video, and it was based off the DS game of Zelda. You know, the one where you go around in the boat? And,
yeah.
The whole thing is him just journeying to the next island, but like every couple of minutes it just goes, you know, 2 hours later, 2 hours later, still journeying. He goes to bed and he wakes up still journeying, and then next day he gets to the island, and then that day he gets a message. New message, there's going to be over 60 hours of gameplay in Skyward Sword, and he just thinks like, oh my god, it's just going to be 60 hours of like journeying to other places.
Now, okay, you said it's a DS Zelda. That reminds me of like how Wind Waker was. It was just in a boat for like hours.
Those
and
were based
hours
off
and
the Wind
hours.
Yeah, that's the one it was. But it was really well done, though.
That was my least
Spirit
favorite
Tracks.
Zelda.
Actually, Spirit Tracks did something just as vile, but it had to do with trains and like the little mini quests that you could do, like to get other items or to like get the little collectibles, had to do with literally picking people up in your train and taking them to different cities. Oh my goodness, that was an additional set of hours that you were just kind of holding one direction on the directional pad until you were done, you know.
It's like, well, at least back with Wind Waker, with the way the controller was set up, you just like rig like a hairband or something on it and go make yourself a sandwich and come back and you might be there. So
I've played a few games where you've had to do that, like in for a couple of trophies, like in Darksiders, there was a trophy, ride your horse for 100 accumulated miles. So I'd already completed the game, and then at the very last area is like a really wide open area, so I just like summoned my horse and I got elastic band and just left it for about 2 hours, and then came back and then it just pinged when I walked in the door. I was like, all right, sound, turn off the PlayStation.
I'm guilty of doing that with Borderlands. Borderlands had, you would get experience for these little challenges that you would get done, like mini achievements. And one of them's maximum was fire a grand total of 5 million bullets. So right. I got in the car that shot bullets, and I rubber banded the trigger down and went off for vacation and came back and had it done and was like level 40. So it was like, yeah.
Was that one of the DLC packs, was it?
It was one of their opening achievements that was in it. Not achievement, challenges, the list of challenges that you could do, like kill the skags and do this and that. So when you got into the one of the runners that you would jump over the piss wash with or whatever, when you got into one of those runners, you could grab it, and then park yourself somewhere safe and just hold down the trigger, and the bullets that would shoot out of the gun and the car in Borderlands were unlimited, and it counted towards the achievement or the challenge. So you would get all the experience for getting the challenge done, and you would get all of the challenges done by just sitting there holding the trigger.
You clever little fecker. But yes. before I jump on to someone else for what they're playing, if you have Borderlands, anyone listening, and you're interested in getting the second one, if you've completed the game on your saved data, it'll give you exclusive costumes for your character in the second one if you've completed it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
No, the more you know. But let's move on. Because knowledge is power. Tron, what have you been playing?
Well, obviously this past week I kind of went on vacation. I went on vacation, so I didn't get a chance to play as much as I usually would. I did take my 3DS with me. I downloaded like a random, like a pinball game off of the eShop on 3DS. And yeah, you know, wasn't much to it. You know, it wasn't a great game. Wasn't bad either, but, you know. At the same time, I was playing a little bit of, once I got back into some Smash Brothers, and also downloaded the demo for Heroes of Ruin. It's supposed to be like a top-down RPG quest type game, and I figured out that's not my type of game, so that's about it.
They used to be my types of games. I used to love RPGs, but I haven't found one that's kind of hooked me in a long time. That's why I'm thinking about maybe getting Diablo 3. I think I need something to suck me in for a while, keep me distracted.
Yeah, that's supposed to be like a Diablo-style game. And I'm sure for the people that like those type of games, that they probably would love it. But I played through the demo, and I was just like, yeah, I couldn't see me spending money to buy this game. So.
Linda, what have you been playing?
Well, I've been playing Skyrim still, of course. But I've added a couple more games onto there, onto my repertoire. Let's see. I've gotten back into Minecraft again because one of my friends has a server up now. He's like, come play on my server and build stuff. And I'm like, okay. So I've been playing a lot of Minecraft, but I've also discovered Octodad.
I love when you come out with these new games I've never heard about, and their titles just are
Octodad.
Awesome.
Octodad. I've got a couple to name drop here. And I've been looking these up for my YouTube channel. So if anyone's interested in seeing some gameplay from these, and I have all the links for where to get these as well, they'll be posted. I do an Indie Friday segment for my YouTube channel every Friday now, and. So yeah, this week is last week was Binding of Isaac. This week is going to be Octodad, and I've got the footage recorded for it and everything. And the game is so much fun. It's so weird, just the premise of it. And the best way I can describe it is you're an octopus, and you are masquerading as the father of a family of four, and that's including yourself and your family. Does not know you're an octopus. And I don't know how, but they don't think you're an octopus. So you have challenges to, just the controls are what really make it goofy on top of everything else. And you have to do certain things. If you don't meet the challenges properly, then the suspicion level of your family rises. And they're like, that might not be a human. And your enemy, from what I've seen so far, because I haven't played too far into it yet, it's this chef, this like sushi chef, and he's like, Octodad, I know you're an octopus, and I know you're not a human, and all this kind of stuff. And then later on, you have the kids are trying to defend him. It's like, leave our dad alone. It's like, don't you see he's an octopus? I'm like, no, he's just a normal human being. I'm like, what is this? This is so funky. But yeah, Octodad is a lot of fun. Another one I started playing yesterday. It's called Oregon Trail. Not Oregon Trail, just Oregon Trail, right?
Oh, that sounds interesting.
I thought it sounded interesting too. I started playing it. My friend didn't tell me what it was. He's like, just play this game. And This one I actually recorded some for my channel as well, because I do browser games, because it's a browser game. I do browser games on Thursday on my channel. So basically, it's Oregon Trail, but it's for the zombie apocalypse. Now, talk about, I know we were talking about zombie games back before we started recording the podcast and we were doing our thing and whatever. And I know we were talking about, you know, there's just zombies in everything now. That's the trend, you know, all kind of stuff. But I love games like this that put a different twist on it. And it's kitschy, it's fun, you still can catch dysentery. It's a lot of fun. And there's a very special merchant, a very familiar merchant, that sells you the stuff at the beginning of the game. Or I guess he doesn't really sell you, but he directs you to how to gather it and stuff. But it's a very interesting premise, and you can look that one up too, or you can see it on my YouTube channel, Oregon Trail. And it's a lot of fun. So that's what I've been playing.
Since you're going on about the zombie thing there and saying you like it when zombies are implemented in something different other than first-person shooters and all that, I remember listening to a podcast where there was this app, and it's basically it trains you to run quicker. And what happens is you have headphones and you do your running, and while you're running, everything sounds okay in the app. You know, there's no problems. But when you get tired, you start hearing zombies behind you. And it's just like, you're
that
just.
That is amazing.
Yeah, and like if the longer you run, then the more you can stop. And the longer you stop, the more supplies that the app just says that you're picking up. But then the zombies will start to catch up on you again. And then you have to run again for a little bit and then stop and then pick up supplies. And then at the end, it'll upload your progress to like whatever leaderboards it has. But the only thing I didn't like about it is that the app is like $12 or $8. If it was like a 99-cent app, I would check it out in the morning, but like I'm not gonna pay. It just sounded really cool.
What's it called, do you know?
Type in zombie running app into Google, and okay. I'd say you'll find a couple of links that might pick it up. I can't remember the name of it.
There's one similar to that called Zombie Apocalypse that me and my friends played down the hill. And you turn it on, and the GPS pulls out, and you can say, you know, what level. Do you want it to be the outbreak? Do you want it to be mid-infection? Do you want it to be months later, 28 weeks later, things like that? And so we set it to outbreak, and we told it to go to 28 weeks later within 3 hours. So a GPS will come up on your phone, and it's like a totally accurate version of your city, and then a couple of little zombies will show up on the screen, so you can walk around your city and kind of like do whatever you got to do, go to a park, and then if you get within like a quarter mile of a nearby zombie, he'll pick up your scent and start moving towards you. So you have to now move away from there. And then as time went on, we were about an hour in, so we were at 2 months into the infection. We were sprinting across the city, screaming because these zombies on his phone were going to catch us. What? And we were trying really hard to get to, we had set it to, our goal was get to the mall. So it like puts up kind of a wall around the mall. It says you can't get to the mall yet. You know, the zombies are too close to the mall. So we either have to get them to come to us, or we need to wait for them to disperse and then sprint to the entrance of the mall in order to get the zombies to go away.
Wow.
And it was, when it hit 28 weeks later, we ran down a street, and the street had forked three different ways, and we thought, well, what way are we going to go? And you can't zoom out of the GPS. You just have to hope that you're going the right direction. So we just started running to the east, and it turned out that was the absolute wrong direction to go, because when we decided to double back west, the zombies from the north and south had come in, and we got caved in the middle of the fork. Oh, it was crazy. That was a blast. That's a fun game right there. That was an app. I think that was a cheap app too. I don't think it was a wallet killer.
I'm just on the phone now trying to find it. Zombie Apocalypse, was it?
Yeah, it should be. I'll ask my friend Keith about it. But yeah.
Please do, and if you can, send me a link to that, because I want to check that one out. That's that sounds deadly.
That's fun. I just love to see. I'd love to see the look on people's faces watching you guys. Like, what are they doing? Just running around like mad people.
We're trying to survive.
You don't understand. It's the zombie apocalypse. There's zombies over there. Run!
But there's so many people out there that want to experience a zombie apocalypse. So, like, that's just a clever way of kind of like thinking about it.
Yep. was. That's a lot of fun.
All right, well, to me, what I've been playing, I was playing The Walking Dead, but I don't want to go into too much detail about it because it's kind of, I don't want to spoil anything for anyone that's listening, but if you had played the first one, you're going to really like the next episode two.
Can we talk about the first one at least? It's been long enough.
Let's ask the listeners. Listeners, do you want us to talk about it? Yes? Okay. Yeah, the first one, I don't want to go on for too long, but the first one, you just start off as your character, Lee, and you're
driving down. I think you're driving down I-75. I think.
And you're being taken to prison pretty much for a murder, but you don't know whether it was you that did the murder or you did or didn't. You have to kind of make up your own mind about it. But then, this is going to take really long to explain every part about it, but it's a Telltale game. They're well known for their Back to the Future series. They're not too much liked for their Jurassic Park series, I don't believe. But they also had another one. They had Monkey Island. But this is their first take on a kind of horror. And
I think they're doing a great job with it. I really do. It's really certainly better than Jurassic Park, but that's not too hard to do. But yeah, with okay, Peanut Gallery. I don't know if y'all can hear that. I got a friend of mine here. Okay. Anyway, so yeah, I love the premise of everything there, and it's you know, I like the new twist on Walking Dead while keeping true to the true nature of the series too, you know? It's not, Walking Dead is more about relationships. It's like, it's a zombie soap opera, basically. There's zombie action, but it's showing you how people are surviving, how they're living. It's not just going around shooting zombies, which can be like, they can be replaced with just about anything else and it wouldn't change the game at all. You know, it's like Left 4 Dead. I love Left 4 Dead. I do. But you could literally change those, the enemies in there to anything else. Okay. They could be killer bunny rabbits and it's the exact same thing. So they could be like, it's like a mod I played for at one time where it replaced all the common infected with Teletubbies, the exact same thing. But like 10 times creepier. So, and they made the noises too. Oh no, it was so bad.
I don't want to live in a world like that.
Oh, it was really bad. But yeah, I love Walking Dead. I love the comics. I love the TV show. I love this video game. And
I love pizza. I love pizza. Diet Coke.
I don't really like Diet Coke. I'm a Pepsi girl. But yeah, anyway, since we're on the topic of Walking Dead, I guess we could bring up the Walking Dead, the only thing of what's going to be Walking Dead that I probably will not like, and that is the new first person shooter, which looks like it's going to focus on everything that I just said, you know, made Walking Dead different. It's going to be exactly like the other things, and it's first-person shooter. It's gonna face. Or it's gonna be. I think your main characters or whatever. You're gonna play as Dale, I believe, from the TV show, and his brother. And it's supposed to be a prequel to the TV show. So it's supposed to show what they did before before they met up with Rick and the whole group and everything. So, but since it is gonna be a first-person shooter, go look up the trailers for it. Those of you who haven't seen it already, and you'll see what I mean. With how I think it's going to be a little bit of a disappointment to the series. And it almost looks like they're just trying to make more money off of it. Because those kinds of first-person shooters sell really, really well. But it is detrimental to the franchise. And
I'm not even going to look up the videos. Because I think I've already heard loads of people already giving out about it. I don't think I need to see them. And I think you're absolutely right when you say, like, first-person shooters sell really well. A zombie shooter sells really well. But, like, keep in mind, this is the same people that are making this game that made Star Wars Kinect.
Mm.
Keep in mind about that precious little gem that came out there not too long ago. Yeah. They've been given the keys to this, just saying, do what you want, because people out there that love first-person shooters and love zombie things are going to expect great things from this, but they're not going to get it. But we're going to get loads of money. So yeah.
Another red flag is the fact that they're using Daryl as the the character, your main character, because he was like, you know, he was like the new breakout cool guy from this last season, especially. They're like, oh, look at him. He does all these cool things in the series that I'm not going to spoil for people who haven't seen it yet. And so he got really popular really quickly. And I think, you know, they're like, oh, well, let's pull it from this character here and let's give him this whole backstory. Let's give the guy who's like this, let's give the white supremacist his own game. Why not? You know, and his brother, who's even more racist. That's awesome. And let's, the fact that we're putting him in just the setting they're putting him in, everything. Yeah, it's, I don't know.
I don't think it's gonna.
It'll be interesting.
I think people are gonna buy it, and then they're just gonna be returning it.
Yeah.
And be like, this didn't work. What do you mean it didn't work? I didn't get it. I don't get it.
In a PR sense, it's working out pretty well because it's pissing a lot of people off.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The fact is, it's in their mouths and they're talking about it. So
yeah.
It's getting around, and that could be enough for it to just drive for people to buy it. And the most people are too lazy to take things back.
Yeah.
So it'll just be a game that sits around in their house that nobody plays.
Yeah, but like the Dead Space 3 PR people are like, people are talking about it, but they're not talking about it in a good way.
Yeah. Well,
we can't get them to take it back.
It's like the next Silent Hill that's going to come out for the Vita. I mean, people are not saying anything good about that one because they're turning it into like a multiplayer thing, which I think we talked about in the last podcast, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we did mention that.
So we touched on it, but it needs to be brought up again just because it's so horrible.
I'm still upset about it.
I am. 2 weeks later, and I'm still, no, that's not cool. Don't touch my Silent Hill.
I can see this podcast turning into like the wailing on stuff we don't like about which is fair to do.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
But yeah. More news came out this week. News of Resident Evil 6's cutscenes will in total amount of time in minutes will be 255 minutes, which will run cutscenes for 4 hours, 50 minutes in total. And I don't think people should be worrying as much as they are. They're kind of thinking, oh my God, a single player with like 4 hours and 15 minutes of cutscenes. You got to remember that Resident Evil 6 won't be just one single player. It'll be three different single player campaigns to play through, along with there'll be co-op implementation in them. So think about like cutting that 255 minutes up into like three different parts.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I'm starting to get excited for Resident Evil 6. I'm not sold on the gameplay just yet, but like I like cutscenes in games. Like I loved Metal Gear Solid 4 because it gave you a great look into like what's going on in that world, and hopefully this will give us a great look into what's going on in Resident Evil 6 now, because a lot of people are worried after playing 5, and they're hoping that, you know, Capcom can, you know, get people back on board with the franchise. And I'm optimistic, but I'm hoping that, you know, I don't get let down. And if I do get let down, I'm not going to jump back on board when Resident Evil 7 is announced.
Yeah. You know, I hope that those cutscenes are going to end up having, like, quick time events, like with 4. So,
mm-hmm.
I like those. I know they're, I mean, it kept you involved. You couldn't just put down the controller and enjoy watching it. It kept you like, oh, crap, do I have to do something? You know, it kept you on edge. It didn't give you downtime.
Yeah, that's true. What were you going to say, Tron?
No, I don't know. I'm still, I don't know about the direction of the series and whether they will ever, like, just get back to, you know, being like a zombie game. Obviously, it's kind of gone off a little bit and maybe, like, you know, not so much sci-fi, but, you know, has like the outbreak and all of this stuff. But I think Resident Evil 4 was just like the height. Like, it just seemed like 5 came and it went down. And even what I've seen from 6, like, there's nothing that I've seen that just say, oh man, I'm hoping that comes, you know, to the Wii U or whatever, obviously, because I'm getting Wii U. But I don't know.
I heard there's going to be, I don't know if it'll be in the campaign, but I heard this week that there's going to be 4-player co-op. Now, whether that's just meaning that in the multiplayer levels, there'll be like a mercenary mode where it requires 4 people to play, or it means that in your co-op campaign, you'll be able to play up to 4 players. But I read that somewhere this week.
Yeah. So
I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm not liking all these games that are coming out now that, you know, should have been first player games, implementing co-op into them now. Like, you know, with Dead Space 3, there's one example that's putting in co-op, and that just doesn't make the game feel like it, the original predecessor, which was Dead Space 1, where it was all about being alone and going down dark alleyways and having things jump out and scare the shit out of you. And
it's exactly like the new Silent Hill. Bam. I brought it up again. That's right.
Linda, you need a timeout. muting you for a little bit.
Remember too that you know, it's the summertime, and we're gonna get a bunch of filler garbage for a while until holiday season starts coming around. When, you know, bonus checks start coming out, that's when they start telling you that the whoppers are coming. You know, late January, fiscal quarter three or so, and like March of next year is when some of the bigger, more exciting titles are going to come out. Because right now, we're kind of stuck in this rut where everything's going to feel the same for a while, because there's not a lot of other places to go. Like, if you can remember, if you can look back and think about when the Tony Hawk game was really big. By the way, it was like Tony Hawk 3, right? Pro Skater 3. They then proceeded to release three spin-off franchises, but there was also a scooter, rollerblading, and BMX spin-off that were done by different companies. And it was a bunch of these ground and vert sport, you know, kind of physical activity games that were coming out to kind of fit this new niche, which was this sport gaming. And it kind of like went really hard. But nowadays you can come around and say, you know, hey, you know, if you played Tony Hawk in a while, they'd go, whoa, no, you know, like I have Skate 3 and that's about it. Same kind of goes for most people with like Guitar Hero, where like, I remember you can get just totally just shit-faced with a bunch of friends and play Rock Band. And that was fine because everybody was drunk. But if you don't, you know, if you, nowadays you say, you guys want to play Rock Band? And then they'll just look at you and be like, man, that was 2 years ago. Like, we don't do that anymore. It's so I'm thinking this kind of squeezing out these zombie games, or even like big titles like Resident Evil is just kind of squeezing these games out, is just to fit the niche and to get money to possibly put out something of like total, like solid value way down the road, though, probably next year.
Well,
a good take. I'm not sold on Resident Evil 6. Hopefully, I mean, obviously for people who like the series, you know, hopefully it's, you know, it returns to somewhat of respectability, I guess, because 5, I mean, a lot of people didn't like 5. So hopefully, you know, they're able to at least make a really decent game so people can enjoy it. We will see.
I played 5 and I played and enjoyed it, but wasn't a case of I went away with like something to remember. Like, I don't even remember most of 5 now. I remember the end, like having that fight with Wesker, but that's because he was a main essential character in the Resident Evil universe. But it took playing around 4 or 5 hours of campaign just for a memory of the last 2 hours of the game where he was in it. It was kind of a diversion, but with like 4, it was kind of a case of you knew what you were doing for the beginning. Like, your goal was to get towards the president's daughter, wasn't it? Jill?
Yeah.
Or no, Jill Valentine, yeah. His other girl. But like, there were things that happened in between that were memorable. Like, I love every time you'd be walking around and you'd see the merchant guy who always, you know, what do you buy and what do you sell? Like, anytime I met him, I'd be like, oh, class, this guy, I have to go sell all this stuff now and get, like, an upgrade. And it was just more... I would never shoot him.
Yeah, you shoot him.
Never shoot your merchants. If you did that in Dark Souls, if you killed your merchant in Dark Souls, he's gone forever.
He comes.
No, that's like in Fable.
Fable.
That's like in Fable, like in the first Fable, when if you drop the wrong traitor, you'll never get those tattoos, or you'll never get certain potions ever again because he never comes back.
Yep. Now, I guess awful. In Resident Evil 4 with the merchant, you can kill him, and he won't come back at that location, but he'll be at the next one, so it's okay. You just got to make sure you don't kill him before you might need him again. Because I think I did that. I was replaying Resident Evil 4 on the Wii recently with a friend of mine, and we were just kind of passing off the controller, and I ended up, like, it was my turn. I was sitting there playing, and it was whenever you barricade yourself, you're in this house with Luis, and, you know, and you're trying to... It's right before you have the split path where you can fight the chainsaw ladies or the big dude, and you have to throw boulders on him. And anyway, so I killed the merchant in that area, and turns out, right after I killed him, I handed the thing off to my friend because it was his turn to play. And he's like, wait, I need to buy this from the merchant. And I'm like, oh, well, he's dead. Sorry about that.
There's no time.
I'll give you an example of that happening in a game that is so annoying. Ninja Gaiden for the Xbox. A really hard game. But I was playing that on the hardest setting, Expert. I unlocked it. And I was at the part where you... it's in the church, and you come across that monster, the pink thing, that's actually the sister of the blonde girl with the massive, you know, thing. But I went up this elevator, and I appear in the church, and then you go out the door, and that's where you have to fight her. But I couldn't beat her because I didn't have enough orbs to heal myself. So I was like, okay, well, I'll just go back down that elevator because there was a merchant guy just down there beside the other save spot that I just saved. But then as soon as you go up to the top, there's another save spot, so I save there. But you can't go back down the elevator. And it's...
Oh.
And I literally had, like, only one quarter of health. And I...
That's the same problem.
Yeah. Some games, like, just break the game that way by not letting you go back. And
well, it's like in Code Veronica, where you have the stupid little ribbons to save. You need the typewriter ribbons to save.
Yeah, I hated that.
And, you know, on top of it, you have, you have very limited health and all this kind of crap. When I first played it, I got stuck in this one part. I got a decent way through, and I had to fight these guys that sucker punch you. And there was one of them that was the boss, and he was on, like, this plane or something. And I had some sort of problem that had to do with saving, and it was some sort of issue with it. But, the game basically had broken itself as far as that goes. And I tried myself to beat the stupid boss. I couldn't do it because I had too little health. I gave it to someone else because I got three brothers. If I can't beat it, I hand it to one of them. And I'm like, here you go. Play this game. Beat it. And none of them could beat it. I've let some of my friends try and play it. I let my mom try it. None of us. And I'm like, this sucks. I really don't want to restart this game.
I'll give you an example of like Resident Evil and those ribbon things. Like, I'm a saver. Back then, like, if I walked out of a room and realized I forgot something in the room I was just in, I'd go back, I'd save, get the thing, and save again, but then I'd have no ribbons left. I would constantly save and save and save because I'd be afraid of, like, a power cut or, you know, if I was to die, I didn't want to have to do over and over and over, which is why I should never play Dark Souls because I'll just rip my hair out, I'd say. But, I think we covered Resident Evil during that little bit of discussion, so we'll move on to a little bit of other news. And a bit of news is that the Assassin's Creed movie now has an actor to play Desmond Miles in it, and it's going to be Michael Fassbender, and he will star in the upcoming Assassin's Creed film, although I don't know when it's being released or if it's actually been begun, like, production yet. But he's meant to be Owl Desi in it. Well,
from what I've read about that, is it not an independent film? Isn't that, it's kind of like a Sundance, or is it actually a full fledged production? Like, is there a big studio that's doing it, or is it an independent studio?
It's being produced by Sony.
It's
being produced by Sony, and the actor himself that's playing Michael Fassbender. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. That dude. He was Magneto in X-Men First Class, and he's done some voice work in Fable 3. And, So
he was also in Inglourious Basterds.
Wasn't he
Do we know anything about...
Prometheus, too.
Yeah, he was in Prometheus.
He was the android in Prometheus. Yeah. Do we know anything about the time setting this movie's going to be in? Like what his character is going to be, or like where, like what is it supposed to be based? I know it's an Assassin's Creed game, but do we know anything about who he's playing?
We know he's going to be Desmond Miles, and it's going to be probably going to end up being an older version of the character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just because of just taking into account the age of the actor himself.
Yeah, I don't think he can play a Desmond.
he's only 35.
He's not young and brown enough.
True.
They've got Desmond portrayed as a pretty dark character. He's got, you know, Native Indian, and he's got all those other really, Middle Eastern in him. He's a pretty dark guy. Yeah. I just don't think he can pull it off.
Well, you know, I thought the same thing with Jake Gyllenhaal in Prince of Persia. But when I first saw the first few screenshots of that, I was like, no, he's okay. And that's not just because I'm a chick, and he was really nice looking in that movie. But, you know, the movie itself, but him, I like that. That was good.
I think Michael Fassbender is a good choice. He's become well known for his movies lately, and he really gets into the role. Like for Magneto in X-Men First Class, I think he made that movie really good.
Yeah.
Like if he wasn't in that movie, it would have been like watching the old X-Men. Like I know there was some good actors in it. Can't think of his name, but he played Professor X in it. What's his name in First Class? Can't think of his actor name. I can't think of his name. Another day I'd remember it. He was in Wanted.
Hold on. That's what Wikipedia is for. All right. James McAvoy.
Yeah. He was good in it as well, but I think without Michael Fassbender acting across from him, I don't think he would have been as good as he was. But I love that scene in X-Men First Class where he goes into the German bar and the two Germans are talking to each other and he goes over and gets a drink. And have you seen it?
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen.
Yeah, I saw it.
I've seen it, but I loved it. Yeah.
Well, there's one good this scene where he goes in and he orders a drink and he's starting talking to the Germans, and the Germans are just making a laugh of like something that happened years ago, and then he kind of lets it be known that he was on the other side of the fence years and years ago, and then he shows them the tattoos, and I think one of the guys pulls out a knife on him, but he uses magnetic powers, grabs the knife off them, stabs the bartender with the gun, kills the other guy, and I can't remember the scene too well, but like I just remember being like, wow, he's such a badass. So
stabbed him with the gun.
That was cool. and other video game movie news, God of War, which is kind of, I mean, people have been talking about the movie for years and all this kind of stuff. I think for over 3 years now. But the movie is now getting a rewrite by the same guys who did the Saw movies and The Collector, Piranha, all that kind of good stuff. So it's getting a rewrite from those people. Which
makes me wonder if it's just going to be extra, extra gory now.
Well, I don't know.
There's going to be more breasts, and there's going to be something to do with needles.
God
of War is gore and breasts. That's what it is.
It's true. I remember that in the very first game, it starts off with you in the boat with the two women, and then you could just jump on the bed and do this like mini game where you just see the baths shaking.
They always have the sex mini game at the beginning of in every God of War, and it's great. Yeah. Or at least the main ones. I don't know if it does in the other ones.
I remember the first time I played that game, I was actually at music festival, and they had a Sony tent, and I was like, whoa, I'm going to check this out. And they had that, and I think Cool Borders, or it could have been Papa the Rapper in there, but then I just seen God of War and I was like, hey, what's this? And then I just went away wanting that game. Who do you think could play Kratos? Like, that's a good question.
Steve Austin or Brock Lesnar.
The hard part with Kratos is going to be able to find an actor who is an actual actor who can act well but can also look the part too. That's going to be the hard thing to find right there.
I don't know if there's any white actors with red stripes down their chest.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, they, as far as like muscular and look like him and everything, you know, I mean, they have to look a certain way.
No, he's got a very fine voice, too, and if they don't get the voice right, it's not going to be worth watching.
Yeah.
The person who gets that part is the best person to walk in and just shout out, Ares!
That's your couple, I think, might be able to pull it off. I mean, it could be a long shot, but the guy from the transporter.
Oh, Jason Statham.
I love
Jason
him.
Might. Like, he, I'm not saying.
And he's bald as well, so.
Yeah, he might could pull it off.
And he has to take his shirt off in every movie, so it's perfect. He does the entire movie with no shirt.
Yeah, he's ripped.
Yeah. So he might could be able to pull it off. I don't know.
What's the name of the guy who's playing G.I. Joe in the next G.I. Joe movie?
I don't know.
The Rock?
Bruce Willis.
No. Bruce Willis might be able to do it. Yeah.
I think Bruce Willis has got the face for Kratos.
Yeah. I think he's got the face for it and the attitude for it. Oh, but I don't think he can play off a demigod.
That's funny.
It's not quite in his repertoire of characters that he's used to playing. Starring Bruce Willis as Kratos. He busts out a minigun.
That would
actually,
if that actually happened, I would still have to watch that. I'm like, nah, I gotta watch this. Yeah, this is
Bruce anything Willis. with Bruce Willis kind of, you know it's going to be good. Or Mel Gibson, he could be Kratos.
Oh god!
He knows it. He likes doing Christian movies and all that. He'd be grand.
Take him off his pills for a bit and just let him go and film
Take
it.
Take him off his pills.
The South Park episodes with Mel Gibson and the way they take the piss out of him?
Yes.
My nipples, they hurt. They hurt when I twist it.
If Vin Diesel could act at all, then I'd say Vin Diesel. But
oh yeah, I know, right?
He would be a really good Kratos if his acting was better. But
Kratos is gay, so
Vin Diesel starring as Gatos.
Gatos.
Gyarados,
the god of war and fashion.
The god of war and rainbow.
How dare you wear a scarf and plaid?
Oh, that's great.
What about this Pandora bracelet?
I see what you did there.
Yep. Any god of war fan will get that.
God.
That's beautiful.
Let's get off the joke cast and get back onto the podcast.
Okay.
We're supposed to talk about games or something.
Yeah. Next news story we can jump onto. We can talk about this new console that ran a Kickstarter to get $1 million raised for it, which it did in its first 8 hours on Kickstarter. I'm going to probably mangle the name of it, but the Ouya.
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 Ouya is going to be at retail. It's meant to be a free-to-play console that you will pay $99 for, and it will support mainly looking towards mobile apps and mobile games to be able to play on this console.
I would think like an indie titles for the most part is what I gathered from the video, which is amazing. Yeah, I think that is outstanding for any console to play indie games without it having to go through a major studio or like they go, oh yeah, you want to play an indie game? Well, buy this bundle of 6 other ones. This is actually just directly, you'll be able to buy, make these smaller companies will be able to make indie games, amazing, you know, mind-blowing indie games, and it'll be on a console that you can play at home instead of just the computer or on your phone. I think this is an ambitious, wonderful idea, and I wish the best for them.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I don't think you need to wish the best for them because they have their goal, and
they're doing really well. They've got $3,596,016.
What?
Yep.
God.
They're up to 3 million.
Their original goal was only 950,000. Yeah. So.
Whoa.
People just keep throwing money at it. They're just buying, you know, 45 foot
sandwiches. They still have 28 days left.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
this is going to be the new, what was the guy from Double Fine, his Kickstarter?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is going to be the new one of that. That's insane.
On top of everything else, from what it says on their Kickstarter page, they are open to, you know, people that like to mod systems. They're like, go ahead. It's not going to void your warranty. You can do whatever you want to this thing. My God. So they are encouraging it. It's a system for gamers. I mean,
it is the Linux of systems.
Basically.
From what I've heard also, I don't know how, I mean, I read when you buy the system, you actually get a dev kit for the system. So, like, if you're a developer or inspiring developer, you know, game developer, you buy the system. And, I mean, obviously, I don't know if it's going to be a limited time or limited amount given out, but you pay the $99 for the system and you get a dev kit. So you can actually make games for the system when you buy the system. So...
That is amazing.
I don't know. That's crazy.
That's cool. I mean, it's like it seems like it's trying to bring back, you know, gaming to its core. I mean, it is. It does look like it's going to be mostly like indie games and stuff, but those are the most like the old school stuff. You know, the stuff that's so much fun to go back and replay for, like, you know, your Genesis or your Super Nintendo or your regular Nintendo or, you know, all the good stuff, and you know. It looks like it's just taking us back. It's trying to recapture that market and give the gamers what they've been asking for quite some time. That we've been fighting.
Games that are for the games and the way that they play and the stories you take away from them and whether or not you play them again instead of this, it looks better than B, so I play X. And you know what I mean? So they're like, oh, it's I didn't play, you know, X1, so I'm playing, you know, X2 to... No. This is just... They want to bring back, like, this... Yeah, the feeling of playing for gameplay and the significant value that the developer loves the game they made and wants to be able to push it out to the public. Yep. And that's... I like that price tag, too. I'm okay with $99. I mean, I can just...
Yeah.
I can just pick one of those up. Whether or not I'm going to play it or not, I will have one for $100. I mean,
Getting a dev kit with it is just amazing. Like, I don't know how much, like, you know, whether a Wii or a 360 or a PS3 and maybe even the upcoming consoles, like, I'm sure their dev kits aren't $100. You know what I mean? You can buy a console and get a dev kit to actually create games for it all in one, which is kind of amazing if you ask me. But
yeah, and the wild thing is you can look at games like Minecraft where the UI and the GUI were widely available for people to use in the API, and then you look at you know, the homebrew for the Wii, and then you look at, you know, the Portal 2 Steam Workshop. When you give players the ability to make things, the result is incredible. I mean, these are people who are just working from their house. So I can imagine the Ouya being pretty cool and the dev kit thing being like a nice, cool thing to have for a bit. And then about 6 months later, the stuff from the players are going to be outstanding. It's going to be like unbelievably good. And you could be like, wow, did the people who made the Ouya, did they make this? And they'll go, no. Some dude in his house just put this together. You know, like he just downloaded it. It's free. And then you click on the thing and it's like, I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
And he was wasted the whole time.
Well, it's like you've seen stuff like that happen with other games already that have downloadable content that's free from like users that have edited stuff, like, you know, downloadable levels for like Left 4 Dead and Portal 2. And Minecraft is a really good example of that. Of user generated content that you know, it's, you see this awesome stuff made by people who, it's some dude, exactly like you're saying, it's just some dude who's made this awesome thing and it's free. And it's just spreading the love is all it is. Spreading the love.
Mm-hmm. It's a good way for them to get their name out there, because a lot of people, if it's free, they'll give it a go, and if it's free, they'll tell their friends that it's free, and that's two people now that are talking about your game, and those two people go on to mention that to another two people. So say 100 people are playing your game, but 50 people remember your name. That's 50 people more than you had if you were trying to charge 10 euro on it, and maybe three people bought your game.
Yep.
That's what happened with Minecraft. Minecraft was originally a beta that he made available to his friends. His friends told some friends, and then it went around in a college, and then that was it. It took over the world.
did any of you see Minecraft, the recreation of all the towns in Game of Thrones?
Yeah, that was beautiful.
That was so cool.
I caught that on Reddit about a couple days ago. That was incredible. That picture is pretty intense. If you guys haven't seen it, I'd be able to pull it up, but they're really, really, really in depth.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, that is just, those people that make those types of levels are just going to come out of their shell and make something incredible in a couple of years' time that we're going to be playing, and we'll be like, man, this guy made that level in Minecraft. If only I put that amount of time into it. I could be on a podcast or something.
I make a smiley face and I'm like, yeah. And then I see another dude who makes a human body from the inside out, and I'm like, oh.
Well, I have the specs for the Ouya here. I can name them out. It's going to support a NVIDIA Tegra 3 processor, which can support up to 1080p HD and HDMI output, 8GB flash storage, 1GB worth of RAM. I might mangle this. 802.11b/g/n wireless chips, Bluetooth 4.0 LE, and USB and SD card ports. So...
Oh my god, it's a netbook that plays games.
Yeah.
It's about the strength of a netbook, and it's like a phone console, I guess. It's like a badass little mobile phone that's not mobile.
I'm just surprised how they kept this quiet for so long, cuz like I don't think anyone knew about it until they seen the Kickstarter, and now I'm on the Kickstarter right now, and you know the way they've got the pledges and all that. For the $99 one, which is, you know, the cost of the console, 24,366 people are pretty much getting this Ouya day one.
Wow.
You know what's weird? I had the Kickstarter page loaded at the beginning of the podcast, and that was not 24,392. It was 24,000, and it hadn't even, like, it was like 24,000 and, like, I don't know, 50-something or whatever. So it's gone up.
God, they made
like 300 people, and
they
like
made
less
three
than
grand
hour.
In the last few minutes.
Yeah,
oh my god!
I'm just after refreshing it, and they're after getting 35 more. Yeah.
It's a good thing though. I mean, you get your, you know, you get the thing. It's like pre-ordering it, and then you get, you know, all the rewards from above that are listed for the other ones, and you know, it's
so,
just cool stuff.
The big question is, and I know we kind of mentioned it earlier before we started the podcast, and obviously there's a lot of online, when you read a lot of articles about it, they're like, oh, the, you know, this new console is joining the console race and the competition for Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo. So the big question is, can you guys see this console being like a legit fourth competitor in like the console race, like actually like taking like people, like, because it's so cheap, I couldn't see it, like, it, I mean, $99 isn't really a lot, but can you see it like maybe taking your time away from like one of your favorite consoles, like whether you game on a 360, PS3 or whatever, like, man, I want to play this instead of the 360 or whatever the case may be?
I feel like my answer to that is more or less, it's the console I'm going to bring with me everywhere. It's the console that I can plug into anyone's TV, and I can play or do anything with it. Because I guess more or less that answer lies on how far are the players going to take the dev kit thing. Because if somebody releases the ability for me to just, if it doesn't come static, the ability to browse the internet on the thing, I'm screwed. It's going to be plugged in and on at all times, and I'm going to be on the internet with it. You know, I won't even bring a laptop to places anymore. I will just bring the Ouya. Yeah, and I feel like that is actually where it's going to compete. It's going to compete with the, because the tablets, like the iPad and the Galaxy, the tablets are wanting to get into gaming. So I feel like it's going to compete with tablet gaming, and it's going to compete with mobile laptop capability to be able to take your laptop places and do certain things. Well, if you got a little console that lets you do it on the TV, it's a lot better than having your laptop on your lap. You know, like it's small things like that. Will it take me away from big consoles? I don't think so, but I think it's going to take me away from a lot of other things. I think it's going to snatch my attention away.
What about sales? Like, can you actually see it? Like, I mean, I know we just talked about it, and you know, things look good. You know, to say they just started, you know, the Kickstarter or whatever. But I mean, can we see it like actually like really selling like millions upon millions? Like, wow, like this is really serious. Like, go out and buy this console.
Well, like, how quick did the PS3 sell when it was first released? No,
right.
Not great,
but it price tagged was way too high.
Yeah, way too high.
But like, see how quickly the Wii sold at a price tag of $250. And this is priced at $99, and it can play probably just as well as most Wii games, or a couple of games on the Wii could play really well on it. Like, this could either blow out of the water and like take over, or it could be just like, oh, it's a cool little gimmick like the Wii was, and I'll buy it, but it'll stay on my mantelpiece because it looks nice.
Oh, you hear that, Tron? You hear that?
Yeah, I heard what you said. Like I said, we're closing in on 100 million, so we're
okay. I was gonna say, I think what that's gonna rely on is whether or not they stagger the release. Because if they try to release the Ouya around the same time as the Wii U, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt really bad because a lot of people want the Wii U. The Wii U is very established and everybody knows what's coming for it. But if the Ouya was to come out and then a year and a half goes by before we see another console, it's all it's going to do is dominate the in-between. You know, like if next year Microsoft goes, well, we still don't have another console, you know, and Sony goes, you're not going to do it, then the Ouya comes out with something else, oh my God, it's going to explode because people want new things. And as long as the Ouya continues to bring new things, I think that's where its power is going to come from.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, my thing is like marketing. Looking at, you know, Nintendo's established, Microsoft is established, I mean, the hardcore gamers know about this console. Like the people that are into gaming, that check news sites and rumor sites and things like that, they know about this console. But the average, everyday, you know, just person that casually plays games probably don't know anything about this console. So it's like, how do they market it? Like for the masses, like, okay, we want, you know, a lot of people to, you know, $99 console you can buy, and you can, you know, play all these games, and you get a dev kit with it, and you know
what? I think $3.5 million is a lot of money, and you could probably squeeze out a commercial or two.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will, but I'm just saying, like,
I hope they do.
Mass market, you know. I mean, Nintendo, you know, Microsoft. I mean, they're just big names. People gonna say the Ouya. What is that? Who is this? A game console? Like, I don't know if people would be really receptive. Like, just the average, everyday, casual gamer. Like, I don't know if they're just gonna say,
they're gonna be like, who is this and why should I care?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like Nintendo. Okay, I know I'm gonna get a Mario game. I mean, you know, Sony. I'm gonna get, you know, whatever, God of War, whatever. But what am I getting with this Ouya console? Like
the Angry Birds trilogy.
So Ouya.
Enough
talk about Ouya now. I think it's coming up to the time to say our goodbyes, I think. But I'd like to thank everyone who's been listening to the podcast for the past couple of weeks, and I hope you're enjoying it. If you're enjoying it, do us a favor and click over to the iTunes and give us a bit of a star rating over there. It could help us out immensely. I want to thank my hosts, and I want to thank Linda.
It was a pleasure.
Absolutely.
As it always is.
Yep. I want to thank Samuel for coming on tonight with us.
Yep, it was a lot of fun. Sorry for missing the last one.
Yeah, you better be, man. You missed a good one. You missed a good one. And I want to say thank you to Tron.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
And as always, I want to say thank you to shortandsweetreviews.com for supporting our podcast and having it up on their site and putting it up on iTunes for us. If you have any questions, you can all get in contact with all of us. We are all on Twitter. There is Linda is SplindaMG on Twitter. Tron is 1208, am I correct?
Yes, you're correct.
And Samuel, I haven't talked to you in a while on Twitter, so I can't remember yours. What's yours?
I tweeted you twice through this whole thing. It's SJQ tweets.
But if I look at my phone, the thing goes all buzzy, 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 and I get in trouble with all the parents here. They give out. So just name out your Twitter, because you weren't on last time there. So
yeah. SJQ tweets at Twitter. So that's my, that's my thing. You can find me on there.
Cool. If you have any questions, guys, just tweet us. And if you're playing any games and you want some help in multiplayer games, tweet us and we'll give you help. So thanks again, and we'll chat you next time for episode 5 next week.
A new hope.
All right.
We will see you guys back here.
Next week.
Ooh, yeah.
That's going to be the new sign-off now. The ooh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
All right, guys, take care, and we'll chat to you next week.
Thank you for clapping for what my parents are ashamed of. Oh, San Francisco. Yes. Oh, my third favorite city to do comedy in. Huh? That's not bad, right? Top 10. Congratulations. More butt fucking per square foot than in any place in the world. That's you guys. That's you. Put that on your postcards. San Francisco. More butt fucking per square foot. Miss you. All right. Now, if you've never seen me perform before, I am not good live. Heads up. If I offend anybody tonight, I apologize. That's not my intention. I'm not going to guess what your personal line of decency is. I cross my own from time to time. It's how I know I still have one. I have no problem with illegal immigration in this country, except for the fact that they don't serve on jury duty. That's horse shit. It should be the other way around. They should serve exclusively on jury duty. Yeah. Then, it finally would be a jury of one's own peers. It's not a stereotype if it's always true. Yeah, then it becomes law. That joke is called Latinos Are Criminals. That's just the title, it doesn't mean anything. Sometimes before I walk on stage, my girlfriend may say, have a good show, break a leg. This is what she said to me a few weeks ago, right before I walked on stage. She goes, hey, you ever worry about getting shot when you're out there? I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? She followed it with, you should move around more. You should go back to reading your vampire books. I should move around more? As if a sniper would get frustrated. Like, I can't keep up. He lives. You ever scratch your girl from the hangnail and pretend you're Wolverine? She's like, knock it off. And I'm like, you made me like this. Then you run into the woods. You're naked. You got to figure things out. Where'd you come from? Why are you wearing dog tags? Did I serve? A lot of times people complain that their significant other takes too long to get ready to go out at night. I've never had that complaint. And I think it's because I never want to go anywhere. So so I could care less how long it takes her to get ready. That's just less time I have to spend with her horrible friends pretending I don't want to kill myself. Yeah. She'll take an hour and a half to get ready, come down and be like, oh my goodness, you were so patient. And I'll be like, for what? You look disgusting. Right? Yeah, now she's crying, whatever, I bought myself an extra 2 hours to watch the game. Yeah. It's not like she's gonna break up with me. She's 10 years younger, she's one opinion away from being replaced. I can say that, I have a television show. Yeah. The power in our household has shifted dramatically.